Building the fashion businesses of the future together. Welcome to the future of fashion business. The future of fashion business is about helping aspiring fashion entrepreneurs and designers start their own successful fashion brands by learning from the best, most experienced people in the industry. I am your host, Esteban Julian. For more advice and to learn more about how I started my own fashion brand, make sure you follow my fashion journey on YouTube at Esteban Julian.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Future of Fashion Business. I am your host, Esteban Julian. And on this week's episode, I sat down with headhunter and career expert for the fashion and luxury businesses or industries, Sasha Milazzo. Now, Sasha has a very broad and interesting career within the fashion industry. He has always been focused on headhunting and recruiting. He actually started working for Louis Vuitton in the HR sector. And then after some time, he eventually started his own recruiting company within the fashion and luxury sectors. Now, he'll obviously tell you more about that way better than I can within the episode. But the important thing and the awesome thing about this episode is that we really made this more about building a career within the industry, which I think it's not only important for people that obviously that want to develop a career in the industry, but also for entrepreneurs that are trying to find talent for their own businesses or for their own brands or for their own startups. Why? Because recruiting talent is relevant to everybody. It's the most important part of probably the entire industry. It's probably more important than focusing on design and sales. Those are all skills. But the most important aspect about the fashion industry in general and probably most of the industries out there is people. So understanding how to develop as a person, an asset, if you want to think about it, within the industry, whether it be as an entrepreneur or somebody that's trying to build a career, is extremely important. It's extremely important to know who you are. It's extremely important to develop that self-awareness to understand what path you should take. And it's very important to know how to develop the skills that you need to build in order to sort of different yourself, not only from an entrepreneurial and business perspective, but from a candidate perspective for, you know, working for the brands of your dreams. So in this episode, we covered all of that, from what to do to differentiate yourself competitively with other candidates, to how does that reflect if you're a business owner and you're trying to you know, hire and find people or talent for your brand, but also the importance and a secret tip that is probably something that Sasha and I agreed upon, but it's probably one of the biggest lessons and biggest pieces of advice that I would personally give somebody that was starting out in the fashion brand. And it's definitely the advice that I would give myself if I was 20-year-olds again, 19-year-olds again, even 25-year-old again. So stay tuned to that advice. It will be covered within the episode. But other than that, sorry for the long intro. As you can tell, I'm just falling out of practice here, but I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. And yeah, I'll see you there. First of all, I know I confirmed your name, but I'm not Italian, so I'll probably mess it up. Even though I speak Spanish, all right? Even though I speak Spanish, I know I have a heads up, but I'll probably still mess it up. So welcome to this episode, Sasha. I'm very, very excited to get this rolling. Very excited for our conversation. And most of all, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Esteban. I'm honored to be here with you today. Don't worry about the name. You know, my name is actually Russian, but you know, as I have a French mother that used to like so much one French singer in poetry, I have this name, nothing to say with Italy. Okay, so don't worry. I'm also used to the different version of pronunciation across the country. Again, thank you so much for being here. It's my honor.
Awesome. Well, just to start off and tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who is Sasha Milazzo? What was your story? How did you start in the fashion industry? Or did you even start in the fashion industry?
Yes, actually, I have a kind of particular path. First of all, I started my background, my study is in clinical psychology. So my first experience was working in a rehabilitation center. But of course, my aim was always, I had always in mind to be a headhunter. So I always loved the idea to use my knowledge in psychology also for supporting people's career. So this is why I started to study in a business school, a specific course in HR. And then fashion happened. I'm half French, half Italian. So somehow I think that
it's in your blood.
I have passion in my soul, let's say. You know, we're talking about the two countries where the product is made and where we have some of the best brands. So fashion and luxury happen. I was selected by Louis Vuitton. And I started my career in the HR department of Louis Vuitton Italy, where I was taking care of recruitment, administration, and support to the store's network. That is one of the most important that the company has. From there, at a certain point, again, my aim was to work with people daily in a more supporting role. So my aim was to be a headhunter. So I decided to leave the comfort of the HR chair and then move to Dublin, to Ireland, where I started my career as a headhunter. I've been recruiting for several company technology, and finally fashion went back. So my former supervisor contacted me, telling me, Sasha, would you like to support us for some research specific on Louis Vuitton? I said, yes, of course. And this was now about 11 years ago, exactly. And from this mission, I started to develop a portfolio of clients in this field. So Louis Vuitton was the first, then I started with Dior, Salvatore Ferragamo, many, many brands, until the day that I founded my company, G&M Fashion Career, where we specialized in this industry, recruiting people all around the world, from of course, in Italy, in France, but in China, we have position all around the world. Then also this allowed me, as I told you, I had always a strong passion for people and talents. So this is why I developed also another side, another hat. And I started working with universities and people to support careers. So I'm lecturer in many university business school, London College of Fashion, University of Westminster, but also SDA Bocconi. And there I really express my passion by teaching to young students and people that want to enter in this industry or develop their career in this industry, how to do it, how we look for a job, how to improve the knowledge, your self-awareness, so also how to structure a proper job search strategy, but also I work with a lot with designer, teaching them how to create a successful portfolio and finally improve their career. I'm half French, half Italian. I've been living in several countries in Europe. Now I live in Barcelona since about 3 years, and I speak several languages, and I think this is also something that I love. What I love about my job is that I meet people from all around the world. I can be in a class in London where you have people from Asia, from whatever country. And, you know, this is constant every day. I always say I meet about 800 to 1,000 students, plus the candidates. This, I think it's really something that it's in my soul again, being open-minded and really enjoying the diversity of this world.
Awesome. Now, trying to, because I want to stick with your story for a second. How did you make the jump from going from universities to actually starting your own recruiting company? Like, what was that transition like? Because that's I'm guessing that was like the biggest sort of transition, right?
Yes, yes. It is a big transition because, as you said, also the recruitment own company, it is something very challenging because it is an industry that exists since many, many years. And, you know, you need also to create this loyalty for your client. My jump was using as transition some recruitment agencies. I think that it's important for people that want to really develop their own business to have a space of transition, transitional psychology. It's always helpful for that. So a space where you can test your skills as a consultant. Why? Because a consultant in a recruitment agency is usually a 360-degree consultant. Yeah. So is there that I was testing my future skills as an entrepreneur. And mm-hmm. I had my own portfolio of clients. My bosses, they were not speaking with my client. Those were my clients, you know. I was developing them. I was creating also this loyalty with them that helped me to have this strong name. Mm-hmm. So this is a suggestion for all people that are hearing us and are looking for developing one day their own business. It's good to work in a brand or in a company, you know, that has an established brand. But of course, if you are looking and aiming to a further step in developing your own business, consultancy is the best because you are challenged from several sides. But also, if you think of the exposure that I had in the agency, mm-hmm. when I entered in the agencies, I was recruiting for Facebook. That it's a very tough job also.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's there that you get this exposure to different clients, to different way of doing business, and you know, also to managing different clients. Mm-hmm. And other things that helped me a lot, I think, and to attach to the open-minded, it's the curiosity. When you want to have a business, and this I learned also in consultancy, you have to be constantly curious. In our tough, in recruitment, it is a very tough business. We have a lot of competitors. If we think at COVID, it has been very difficult. It has shrinked the market, but the market is start again. So your curiosity is what helps you to give something more to your client. Why? Because you're curious, so you do research, you want to discover more, and you prepare yourself better. Mm-hmm. And this is also something that personally always motivated me. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is, in the first instance, the main reason why I left an amazing company like Louis Vuitton, because it's true. It's a great company. You have great benefits, all that. But if you want to do the step, then you have to take a different path.
Yeah, if you want to get rid of that itch, it's the only way, pretty much.
Yes, believe me, because when you call SHR Louis Vuitton a candidate, it's wow. Oh, Louis Vuitton is calling me. When you call from a strange name agency, you know,
yeah.
Even if at the end you're recruiting for Vuitton, but the first impact, sorry, who are you?
Yeah, you don't have the brand, you don't have the reputation backing you up. Yeah, yeah.
You have to build it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and you have to, I mean, something that I guess was a very challenging thing is just as you just mentioned, the benefit about starting with consultancy is that it's a way to already start being an entrepreneur, but lowering the risk, you know, building the existing relationships and leveraging everything that you had pretty much. And whenever the risk was already at the lowest because you already had existing client relationships or because you already started having a certain reputation within your market, making the transition was very easy. But I mean, building that reputation as an agency must be incredibly difficult because I mean, a brand like LVMH or Louis Vuitton or any of those, I mean, they've worked for, I mean, decades building their culture and attracting that talent. So as an entrepreneur who is trying to get that talent, if you don't have that brand, if you don't have that reputation, I mean, is there anything that can be done from the recruiting process to attract that talent, or reputation is something that pretty much you need to worry about building? If not, you're pretty much done for as either an individual trying to hire people or as a company trying, maybe a smaller brand or somebody that's not as developed.
I think that you have both, because reputation cannot fall on your head, you know, like from a tree, you know, something that you're working. So it's something that you build. In my experience, what was important, of course, starting with a big brand, it's something that helped, but it's never enough. Mm-hmm. In the headhunting and in this kind of work where you have a close human relationship, I think that your transparency, your attitude, your ability also, again, I've learned from clinical psychology, so this helped a lot to understand the other person and give this space is very, very important for the reputation. Then you have also a constant work of, you know, looking for opportunity to enter. Recruitment business is very tough. Why? Because usually As you were saying, if a company has built a brand, and if a company has an established relationship with another recruitment agency, they are not looking at your email when you send them. So you have really to work hard to find a little space where to enter. And as soon as you have this first opportunity, you have to do your best, because maybe there will be not another chance. And when you have this chance, okay, it's working with the highest level of professionality, using your curiosity to prepare and be ready to do the over mile. I give you an example, a little story. When I was in this agency, so as I told you, a former colleague contacted me for a specific recruitment. And this recruitment went amazing, but was just one position. It was this little, you know, space where I enter. Suddenly, she decided also to give me another little space that was for still for this brand that we were talking about, Louis Vuitton. They had a project, and this project was particularly difficult. They asked me to build a specific team that was doing buying of textile and product development. Something that I can say it now, I never worked before.
Of course.
So when I had this opportunity, I decided this was for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many hours I worked those 3 weeks. I remember that I was concentrated because I had the feeling that I was competing with some of the best headhunting agency out there. Okay, because the same position that I had, the client could give to many companies.
Of course.
Okay. So I remember doing, I think, about 150, 200 invitation on LinkedIn. At the time, I was not using the email, but just invitation, and doing that for a week, then doing incredible hour from 7:30 in the morning until 10 to make as many interviews, working on Saturday, because I know this was one shot, you know, Esteban.
Yeah.
If I would have missed this, maybe we wouldn't be here talking, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe G&M would have never existed. And the result was amazing. I built all the team. I found also the head for a specific, very specific sector. We are talking about textile development that I've never worked before. I used my curiosity, my willing, my resolution to know as much I could at the time about that. And this was successful. I think that this is, you know, you have the chances, you have to look for the chances, but when you have it, you shouldn't look at anything else. And this resolution is really the thing that has helped me. And again, as I was saying, I'm here today thanks to that, because from there, of course, my name was out after.
Awesome.
But the message that I want to send you that is very important also for our audience is that opportunity, you know, you have to look for, and when you have it, even if it's a small one, you have to use it, because maybe you wouldn't have another one. And it's too easy to complain, okay, they didn't give me the opportunity. No, maybe they give you, but you were not enough resolute. You were not enough determined to achieve it, because this is what makes the difference in success. Yeah. We talk about talents a lot, but it's the willing. For what is the experience that I have, and I know people that they have amazing position out there in this industry, it's not the talent just, it is the determination, the willing. What are you ready to do to achieve that? Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, you can create an amazing reputation out there and finally enjoy it.
Awesome. Yeah, and one thing that I really like that you also mentioned is that building a reputation is very hard if you don't focus on something very specific. As you said, this even applies to recruiting. With recruiting, superficially might have or not work in the same way as starting a brand from scratch. But those same principles still apply to any business whatsoever. And because fashion is such a brand heavy business model, it's pretty much the most important factor in all of the business model, you need to really start learning about where to focus. In your case, you started focusing on becoming really good at recruiting something very specific. And from there, you could start branching out into other different things. But without being able to do that, and as you said, the continuous motivation and and resolution to continuously go forward, it will be very hard to really stand out, especially at the very, very beginning. Now, that said, I really want to understand with your years of experience, and especially coming from the tech industry, because I find that super, super interesting. Have you found a common denominator, or I guess a skill that is repetitive over candidates that really have a lot more opportunities, maybe design, marketing, maybe sales? Because for example, in the tech industry, people say that, yeah, all skills have their own place, but in tech, if you are an engineer, everything just becomes a lot easier for you. Is there something specific like that in the fashion industry, whether you're trying to develop a career or whether you're trying to look for talent for your own brand?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, in tech, I agree with you, but also I think that another, because I used to recruit, as I told you, I used to be also very good recruiter for a company like IBM, Salesforce, also the sales part. Those two sides, if you are, of course, sales are the life pipeline of companies. So if you have, if you mix in this case for technology, it's important. In fashion, I think that based on, first of all, there are some very technical role that can enjoy this fact. Being technical, they are tough to be, you know, learned, but they ensure somehow a more competitive advantage. And in these terms, we can put together all the design role. Designers, this is something I message that I always try to pass. Even if design is creative, is creativity, there is no creativity without technical knowledge.
Of course.
Because you can create the most beautiful dress or piece of garment that you expect is not coming just from your creative skills, but it's coming from the technical knowledge, how this material will react, what can I do? So those jobs and all related to that, if we think of product development, all the part of the atelier, the pattern development, these are jobs that are highly in demand, always. First, because they are less attractive than marketing roles. So you have
to
think
that the,
marketing roles have this powerful attraction for a lot of candidates. It's funny, but if I enter in a class, in an average class, the majority, they think, oh yeah, I want to work in marketing, in events, in PR. And you start, you know, each brand has a very small space of PR. They usually use agency with 1, 2, 3, 4 people inside. So due to this imbalance, those positions are very competitive. And also because they require different skill set. They are not so technical, like think knitwear designer, denim designer. It's such a technical job, okay? So the same, you have some textile engineer or engineering that is beginning something. Of course, our world is changing. There is
3D design even nowadays. You know,
3D design, absolutely, but also if you think of sustainability, you have engineering is helping a lot in wasting less, changing the way how we create a pattern. Today we have a company that they have the most efficient way to create pattern. The pattern is almost perfect. There is no waste of material. So this technical part can ensure a more competitive. Then another part is about sales. This is the same also. You have to think that when you think a structure of a company, even if we don't accept with that, the more than the 50, 60%, it's dedicated to that. I say something that I always say in class. People love companies like Christian Dior, Louis Vuitton, Hermes, but if you think at their particular way of doing business that is highly integrated, because they own their stores, they own the distribution,
supply
the majority of the people work in sales. Just to give you a number, when I was in Italy, we had 23 store was at the time with the temporary stores, about 600 people, okay, in the whole country. 545, they were dedicated to the stores. Mm-hmm. But this is because Louis Vuitton, it's a company that owns is retail distribution, mm-hmm. and of course, all people that worked inside. So it is important, what it is important is to understand also how this business is working. Because in this sense, if we have clear idea, and this is something that I meet a lot in university or people that they want to approach this business, we think that the imbalance is more on the, let's say, design, creation. No, it is the opposite. So we have to understand, yes, we have to understand how this works, and we can find, of course, some métier, we say in French, where the technicality is highly important and gives us an advantage. Mm-hmm. This is similar from, think of the digital exposure, and how this is changing also. We're talking about technology at the start of your question. Technology is influencing a lot the fashion industry. So also some specific skills linked to technology could be very useful for mm-hmm. people.
Awesome. So would you say the current state of the fashion industry now demands a higher amount of different skills? Because that happened with the tech industry, for example. And I'm not sure if fashion is still there quite yet. Where, you know, at the beginning, the more specialized you are, the more you stood out and the more opportunities you had either as an entrepreneur or somebody building a career. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, that's not enough. Nowadays, it's not, you have to specialize on something. And I'm talking about the tech industry so that we can use that as a reference for the fashion industry. Now you have to specialize on something, mostly for, say, engineering or design or fabric design or 3D design, but also understand sales, but also understand marketing, but also understand HR. Do you think we're at the same level within the fashion industry, or is it a little bit less due to the fact that there's not as many fashion startups don't really dictate culture yet within the industry, mm-hmm. but the bigger conglomerates do?
I think that this transversal, view, it's important also in fashion. I always say this example, you know, when you see an interview of great creative directors, the names that we all dream. I mean, I often mention Tom Ford because personally it has been a reference for myself also as an entrepreneur. Those people, and they're not painters like we think, you know, that they just have the creative side. No, those are business people.
Or salespeople.
So, they have, of course, the ability to design, but the ability to design something and to create something, it comes from their incredible ability to understand their consumer. Mm-hmm. It comes from their incredible ability to understand the whole process of how a product is. You start from the concept, you think at the concept, and from this idea, it has to become a product. So an overview, it's very important. Maybe not when you are at a creative director level, maybe some recruitment skill set, but not HR, okay? Mm-hmm. But all the other things you must be aware about. What are the channels, you know? How digital works? Who is the consumer that comes from digital and who is the consumer that comes on the store? Mm-hmm. It is important today that whatever the position you have a knowledge of the industry where you are swimming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is either you're looking for a job or either you have a job. It's a critical factor in the development of an individual career path. Mm-hmm. Because you were saying me before about what is the distinction. When you speak with, I have candidates that they have a very high level, worldwide position. When you speak with them, you can feel that. And I can feel that also when I speak with a young person, 24, 25, that one day maybe will take this position. Mm-hmm. Those people, they have this understanding. I'm working on a little piece of the cake. Perfect. But I have to know the whole picture. Because if not, I cannot do well my job. And this is important also, I think, to, you know, express your motivation, to feed your motivation. Because people say, I have passion for this industry. Great, show it. Huh? Don't stay only thinking at yours. Also because this is a consequence of how the world is changing. You have to consider that, and this is maybe a strong message for people in future, the little specialized task boots can do better than us. Mm-hmm. We have to be honest. They have a sequential way of working that our brain can never achieve their speed, their ability. So if we don't keep this sense of, you know, transversal view, view across the whole business, we are going to, you know, a boots can take our place. It costs less. Mm-hmm. Usually they don't complain. So, you know, there are a lot of points. And it's important. This is for people that want to develop a career further. Often they, you know, people think, oh, we can do transversal move in the industry. Yes, in an ideal world, but in practice, I've seen few people that they are able to do. Mm-hmm. And the one that they are able to do, they keep this open-mindedness. They keep also this humble view. I'm part of something larger, something bigger. So I do that at my best, but always with the vision that I want to learn what is next. I want to learn what my colleague does. Mm-hmm. And now we are part of the same process.
Okay. And how much do you think, or well, not do you think, you probably know the answer to this, but how much of recruiting in general within the industry is done still or controlled by the big brands, or how much is coming through startup fashion brands? Mm.
Unfortunately, I can use, you know, the most classical Pareto. You know, Pareto always talk about
80-20.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
There is this very powerful branding effect. And this is something that personally I try also to let's say it's my manifesto when I enter in a class. Because the 80% of people, believe me, they want to apply for this small 20% of brands that are there.
Yep.
And the effect is that this narrow, you have a lot of application for the big brands, and you have all the startup, all the small brands, consultancies, suppliers, you know, there is a world out there that they have difficulty to find people, because people, they concentrate only on that, getting frustration. So the message should be, of course, the big brand is important and we all want to achieve that. But the most important thing, it's about ourselves, developing our skills, developing a career path. If we do things well, even if in a startup or in a small company, big brands are coming.
Yep. No, no.
And I know personally that having worked with my clients, many at a certain point from the consultancy, they have been trying to bring me in. Because of course it's convenient. You know several brands, you know very well the industry. So for them, you know, there are less risk in that. Mm-hmm. We should aim to really look at the whole market, because the brand's power, it's influencing also the recruitment, to answer to your question. And it is heavily influencing the recruitment. And I, again, as I told you, I have numbers because I meet a lot of students. And believe me that the 80% of them, they say always the same brand. And this happened in London, happened in Barcelona, in Milan, everywhere, in those different cities where I meet students.
Yeah. And it's very interesting, because it's definitely something that should change. I mean, the Pareto efficiency or the Pareto distribution, I mean, that's something that's very hard to change, but at least not the awareness of the importance of that other 20%. Because most people, whenever they're building their careers, both as either somebody that's just trying to work for a company or somebody that wants to start something from scratch, they're always saying, well, I lack the experience. Like how do I get the experience if I only study design? Like how do I branch out and learn marketing? And they think, and the most counterproductive thing that you can do to become that generalizing expert, which is a word that I just made up, is to, to work in something or work at a place that's going to give you a lot of exposure to a lot of different things. And startups are the best way to do it. Like there's just no better way to learn than working through startups, especially when you're starting out. And I made that mistake because from my background, I come from a family of business owners. So it was never that hard for me to start a business, contrary to people. Like most people are like, no, I have to get a lot of experience first. I need to work for 20 years and then I'll start my business. With me, it was just, I'll start my business from day one and I'll learn a lot more. But I made a mistake with that as well, because I would have worked for a startup first, and then I could have made that decision either to pursue a career professionally for a good company or to start my own business. Because the amount of the speed at which you, I mean, people really underestimate the speed at which you can learn learning for a startup company. You don't have the risk that the owner has. You're going to learn a lot about a lot of things, both yourself, and you're going to get tangible skills, and you're going to do that a lot quicker than you can imagine. So I think,
and
I love
facing challenge, you know, if you're, you know, facing real challenge, that is what we need to learn. But if you allow me also just to add something, and because, you know, my background in psychology is always there pushing me, there is a big bias. People are thinking that career are better when the brand is
bigger,
you know, shining. Mm-hmm. We started with the COVID, but we do a lot of activity to share our knowledge with the people. And we started webinar series because, of course, I have many candidates around the world. And in one webinar, I had three amazing guests, a retail director in Sephora, merchandiser, worldwide merchandiser in Marni. And the third person is a guy that we brought in Louis Vuitton. And he's a guy that does all the watches and the electronics, you know, those new products. Mm-hmm. This is a guy, amazing, really. When you think at a relational intelligence, self-awareness, humbleness, all together, this guy, it is brilliant on that. And for this reason, it has an amazing position. And he was saying something very, very strong during the webinar, but I cannot agree more. This person is highly passionate about watch. And along his career, he had the opportunity to finally meet the brand, the small brand, that was of his dream, okay? The day that he ended up in this brand, even if he loved the product, the things didn't end up well. Mm-hmm. And of course, again, the bias, the idea, I love the product, so the company, it's amazing, did not really work. So during our webinar, he said in a very strong way, he said, today I work in Louis Vuitton. I don't like Louis Vuitton product, but I love how Louis Vuitton does business. Because what is important is not the product. This is why the bias. We think something external. Some people, they would love and they love to work in Louis Vuitton. Others, they don't. They have tried. It's not working. So the bias is that we look at the fashion industry like when we do shopping for work. And we should not, because exactly as you said, when you enter in small company and there is a world of startups, of suppliers that go from textile production until digital agency, believe me, there is a universe that can give to people amazing opportunity of express talents. Mm-hmm. Even better than this small 20%.
Yeah, and going back to talking about competitive advantages, if I'm a business owner, whether a conglomerate, because I mean nowadays we all know the big conglomerates are looking for that entrepreneurial spirit either way, especially for executives. And the only way to do that, or the fastest way to do that, and see if that's meant for you, is to work through a startup, because you're going to get the same experience.
Yeah. But also it's most important, you know, there is another bias that I often see. The bias is, okay, I need to find a name for the CV. No, you need to find a place where you're going to face challenges, where you're going to learn, and you're growing your skills for the next step. Mm? It's for the career, also because career for us, we are young, so we have a very long career forecast. We are not getting retired like our fathers or our grandfathers, you know. We are going to work long, so a career needs to be always considered with perspective. And what is important is not just the piece of name that you put on your CV. It is important, the mission, what you are going to do, exactly as you said. When you work in a startup, maybe you are reporting directly to the owner or to the second person instead of having a pyramid before. And, you know, you are involved directly in the development of the, when you were using the, I was using the example of the agency. Again, the owner was telling me, look, at the end of the month, I want that. How you bring it,
doesn't matter.
It's not my problem. Just you have to do it. And biases are something that unfortunately influence a lot every day, our life, and also this how we see work and career development in the fashion and luxury industry.
Okay. And talking about biases, do you think, like, how biased is the industry still about, you know, the college degree? Because this happened to me. A lot of people in the fashion industry, or a lot of people that are very passionate about fashion, like real talent that are really genuinely passionate about the industry, don't really come about that until very late. You know, I mean, yeah. A lot of people start design because it's the fancy thing to start, but they notice that they love the technical aspect, or they know they love supply chain, or they love operations, but they don't have the background in it. They don't, or sometimes they don't even have a degree. You know, they might be artists. They've always been artists, and they're 25 and they discover, you know what, I would love to work in the fashion industry. But how dominating, or how hard is it to actually develop a career without a degree for both sides, for both big companies and brands? Is it still a very important requirement, and for startups?
For some brand, it is still a very important requirement. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, for some technical roles, knowledge is very important.
Of course.
We can call it degree, or I prefer to call it competences and knowledge. You need to have it. You cannot, again, create a knitwear product without knowing all the technicality, the gauge machine, the numbers, you know, again, technique. Yeah. But me, in my experience, I saw people growing different career paths. Of course, some, they've started the perfect career path. They go in business school with a large name. The business school is sponsored by Kering or LVMH. So one of the class starts and they do great career. I saw other starting from maybe a different, I have in mind now an example of an amazing candidate of mine. This person started in a very well-known brand out there at the reception. Why? Because this person was speaking several languages. Within these, this person started to, you know, have a passion. When you have this, you have to build a plan, because things are, dreams are achievable, but you need to build a plan. This person did. Okay, I will invest some of my even small revenue and a lot of my free time in courses, in study, discovering maybe not degrees, but specific schools about materials. You know, this person followed this path until the day that I meet this person and I helped her to enter in a company where this person developed products for one of the most luxurious brands that we have there. So I agree that we cannot start with degree, but determination and willing to learn are very important. And there is something that I say always, and I think it's very strong. I agree that we don't evaluate people on degrees, that I fully agree, but we have to evaluate people on knowledge, because knowledge, competences, ability are the real freedom. You know, out there, I think that, and I will be tough with that, because I think there are too many people that are using the message, oh, you don't need to study, just go, just attitude. No, it's not about attitude. The people that are selling that are selling dreams, because maybe they sell career coaching session, or because maybe they sell life book. Of course, you know, the reality is different. It's true that maybe you don't need from the start a degree, but again, your know-how, your knowledge is your real freedom. Because it is for there that you will be evaluated by others and you will be free to do your path. And of course, it is tough. It is tough for someone like, you know, the person that I was describing the story. Imagine you have your full working day. Then you go on a night course. Then maybe you go back home, you eat very fast and you take your book and study. And the day after 7:30, the alarm is ringing and you start again. So we have, again, degree for me is not the main, but we have to build on our competencies and on our knowledge.
Sure. Sure. The degree is just a way to communicate that expertise or that knowledge in a viable and in a reliable way.
Sorry to interrupt you, but you know, I'm telling you that because on the other side, a lot of people that they just have the degree, but not competence, you know, you have all skills and we can see that. And this is why also my suggestion for the fashion industry is to always mix, even people that they start a degree, okay, before to or during your study, go out and work. We can do both things, you know, and this will help us very well, not only to understand if we are doing the right things, you know, but also remember what we were saying, to get this transversal overview on the business that help us to grow. And is that we don't have a lot of time, but in 12 years, I met so many people that some that they started from being sales assistant in a store and there, you know, being noticed by someone for their ability, for their skills, for their passion, and end up in the design, end up, you know, okay, we are going to support you for a degree in design while you start working with us. Those stories are real, exist. There are few, you don't have many, but the majority of the case that are successful is because they have the right determination, willing, and they're ready to pay a huge price also, again, in terms of lifestyle.
Of course. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I'm going to sound like I'm promoting, you know, startup culture or something, and maybe I am, because although I'm not a recruiting expert or anything like that, but I've always been an entrepreneur, and that's probably the biggest mistake that I've made, and that I would tell somebody starting out from scratch or somebody that wants to do something differently than the skills that they currently have, is that really consider working for startups, because startups are always looking for talent. Talent is going for big brands, so startups want that talent. And startups specifically, yes, they do care about skills, but they care about your time and your energy and how much of that time and energy, that's the only thing that you have if you're a student or if you're starting out in your career, how much of that are you willing to invest with them? And the thing that they'll give you in returns is probably not going to be a huge salary. It's probably not going to be, you know, the validation of working and going to fashion shows and to PR events, but it's going to be that they're going to teach you and they're going to lead you into developing those skills or into transitioning in those skills much quicker than they would if you would be in a very big company and in a lot more flexible and realistic way.
But again, I insist, I agree with you, we have to insist on that. Also, the challenges that a startup can give you, these have an amazing value. Because again, think, I want to give you my example. Shining brand, perfect, great group, leading luxury group, whatever. But still one exposure. Now, what I always say to my clients, and I always want to say this to my student, the advantage that I have, why they are contacting an Edhunter, is because my brain is exposed to an amazing world of diversity. I don't recruit only for one brand. Since the start, when I started up my business, my challenge was, okay, I stay in the fashion industry because I love this industry, but I want to work with different players. So when you enter in a startup, for your brain, this exposure to diversity, it is amazing. And another thing that I can tell you through the startup, when you work in a startup, you are maybe dedicated to one country or to several countries. But when you think, I can tell you because when we started our business, it was like this. We were hiring people able to speak different languages and use it every day. Sasha, can I contact this company in China? Yes, go for it. And from this, you learn to approach a different country. Can we speak with this brand in Mexico? Yes, just adapt your time schedule. For me, it's fine. And this invaluable exposure to diversity, it's something that feeds your brain in an amazing way. Mm-hmm. It's something that for your future will make the difference. And when you are sitting in a brand and feeding your brain with always the same kind in terms of recruitment profile to recruit, okay, we like people that comes from this company, you know what I mean? Your brain get used and somehow in a more comfortable position, you know, so not challenged. So the message we have to insist with you, startup and small company, these are really starving for your talent.
Mm-hmm. And for your time and energy, because even if you think that you don't have talent, everybody has time and energy. And as you progress in your career, you realize that those are probably the most valuable assets that you'll ever have. And you'll never have as much of them as you do when you're finishing college or when you're young. So use that to the advantage and use them productively.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's use it productively, as I was saying. And because, you know, we're talking about the reputation. Mm-hmm. It's good to build a reputation, but the problem is not just to build your reputation. The problem is to maintain your reputation. Because when you work in such a competitive field, if you do one mistake, your reputation, you know, can go bad. Yes, because the problem is with a reputation is that when they contact you, there are expectations. Mm-hmm. So if you don't fit these expectations that are due to the wonderful aura that your reputation has given to you, you start to touch and to break, what is the most important things for your work. Mm-hmm. And maintaining requires, exactly like you say, time, dedication, passion, willing.
Amazing. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of the conversation, Sasha. I always have to put a timer because I can talk about these topics for hours. I usually keep it under an hour just for the sake of my guests, because obviously it's just an easier time to fall back in. But I really, really enjoyed the talk. I wish I could have you sometime back to cover different topics. I mean, there's just so many different things that we can talk about. But before we wrap everything up, I do want to ask you one last question. And it's a question that I've been asking from the very beginning of when I started this podcast. And it's a tough question. So take your time if you need to before answering it. And that is, if you could go back to, let's say, when you were starting your business, when you were starting out in the fashion industry, what would be the best piece of advice that you'd give yourself and why?
That's a very tough question. I think, yeah, that trust in my case, that doesn't seem so evident because I look like someone very secure, but I would say trust more. Mm-hmm. Trust more in yourself, trust more in your knowledge, because this is something that has brought me here. This reputation is built on my knowledge. Also, my knowledge is what I am. Remember, I told you I'm very international and I love diversity. So this was a part that maybe at the time I was not so aware and I was feeling insecure. Instead, you know, the security that I got helped me to build then my business, because it's something that has helped me to build my reputation, and it has allowed me to, you know, to contact. It's funny, but there are still we're talking about biases, no? Mm-hmm. But imagine that when Sasha Milazzo contact a pure French brand, they don't see that I'm also French and I speak French as a native person. I'm bilingual. So, you know, this trust that now I have, at the time I didn't trust enough to take the phone and maybe tell them, okay, we can speak about, because this is the most important piece of advice that I didn't give at the time to myself, but anyway, has brought me here today.
Amazing. Yeah, so confidence. No, I agree. I agree. And people really underestimate the process because, you know, people think that advice, when they hear good advice, it's going to be something specific, right? Like, oh, I wish that I knew how to sell, or, oh, I wish I knew about marketing, or I wish I, but it's never something specific. Because the most things that I learned that I completely agree with you is that the most important lessons that you learn are usually relative to your emotional character more than your specific skills or experiences. And those lessons are very hard to communicate. And that's why I asked that question, but they're even harder to learn without going through that process yourself first and seeing how you end up at the end of the road.
Absolutely. Believe me. I can share another thing that I remember my first interview in Louis Vuitton, shaking, maybe the candidate, but believe me, shaking. And you cannot see me, but I'm quite a tall guy, almost 1.90 meters, but still, this insecurity that I think we all have and that we can work out. We can, again, is exactly like maybe it's easier to learn a skills, like you were saying. And this is why I want to focus on that. No, instead, we have to be self-aware of what we can do without being arrogant, because this is not arrogancy.
Of course.
And confidence, it's something that you grow. You grow slowly. Mm-hmm. Again, thinking at the first interview and one of the last lessons that I did where I had 300 people and I wasn't shaking at all. So this is how somehow you evolve also.
And now you're here doing a podcast episode that, 5,000 people are going to watch.
Ooh, now I start to
share. Yeah, I didn't say anything at the beginning.
Because it's good that you're telling me this at the end.
Awesome, Sasha. Well, I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate you sharing all of that with us. It really means a lot to obviously the audience, I'm sure, but also to myself. It's always a pleasure to have these sort of conversations. And let me just reassure that it's probably one of the biggest reasons why I started this whole thing. So thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Esteban, for inviting me. But also, I think thank you for, we need people that are sharing those messages. Because what I can see when I meet, again, a lot of people, candidates, students, is that still those messages are not enough strong.
There's not enough awareness. Yeah.
Yes, it's something that we need. So thank you so much. And I'll be glad to be again here in future. Lovely speaking with you. Me too. I love talking. So
it's good that you're French and Italian. So it's not very hard to know where that comes from.
Talking about biases.
If you want to learn even more about how you can start your own fashion brand, make sure you follow me on YouTube at Esteban Julian. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Future of Fashion Business. Make sure you subscribe to listen to our future episodes.